Radio.
Good evening. God bless you all. Good evening. God bless you all. You have reached. Welcome to Scars. Let me get started like that. Welcome to Scars, a really cut and recovered strong. My name is Pastor Rose. I'm your host for this evening. We thank and praise God for those who are able to tune in on tonight by any means necessary, whether through social media or just dialing in. If you are listening and would like to dial in, you are more than welcome to dial in 516-531-9569. That's 516-531-9569. We give glory to God for all that he has done, for all that he is doing. And we thank God for Scars. Truly, the word is reaching the nations. We thank God we have new listeners in Israel and Canada and Ukraine and all over the place. And I just really thank God that God has used me and allowed me to share some light on issues that have forever had us bound, that has forever held us captive in our life. And so tonight we're going to be talking about broken but healed. Hurt don't live here anymore. And that's a declaration that we as children of God, as we as women, we as men, amen, young and old alike, we need to declare, I may have been broken, but I'm healed. And hurt does not live here anymore. Hurt does not have an address no more. You cannot find hurt on a GPS to get to me anymore. Why? Because it does not live here. And so, like I say, Scars is severely cut and recovered strong. A lot of times we are severely cut, severely bruised, severely wounded, but we never get healed. And then even after we have been those things broken, we get healed, but then we're not whole. You know, the Bible talks about in Mark 5 about the woman that had the issue of blood for, I believe, 12 long years. Amen. And this woman, you know, she suffered tremendously. You know, she suffered tremendously and lost everything. She had lost her friends, broke, aggravated, busted, disgusted, the whole nine yards. But when she touched Jesus, when she got a hold of Jesus and touched the hem of his garment, not only was she immediately healed of her infirmities, but she was also made whole. Why? Because she was healed from something that held her back, but at the same time, she was still broken in other areas. She was in pieces in other areas. She was broke. You know, financially, she had no money. There was lack. Amen. In the biblical days, when you would bleed out and you would bleed, you would be considered as unclean. And so you couldn't even walk on the same street as other people. You had to be separated because you had an issue. Amen. A lot of us has issues and we refuse to deal with our issues. Amen. And so she was broke. She faced rejection from people, rejected by those in leadership, rejected by doctors. The Bible says she spent all that she had, everything that she obtained, everything that she, you know, had saved up in her bank accounts, if you will. Amen. She lost it all trying to get healed, trying to find a remedy, trying to find an antidote, trying to find a way out, trying to find an answer, trying to make a way of escape for her current situation. Allow me to tell you today, my brother, my sister, that there is a way of escape for you. There is a way out. A lot of times, amen, we don't realize the exit signs, and there are times even in my life where I've seen seen the exit signs. I seen the bright red lights flashing, exit, 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 and I still refuse to get out of that particular situation. And so, you know, we're on scars here today, severely cut and recovered strong. And on scars, we deal with issues. We deal with things that even your preacher ain't going to deal with. Amen. We deal with things that your family still decides to want to hide and kick up under the rug and push up under the rug. And in my learning and in my experience, I don't think that's very fair. Amen, because things are not things, but people don't stay children forever. At some point, whatever stemmed or whatever happened to you in your past childhood, eventually it will manifest itself in your adolescence, in your teenage years, in your adulthood, and you will constantly, continuously carry that burden around from what your mother did, from what your father said, from what your mother said, from what your father did. Amen. Glory to God. But God wants to heal and God wants to make whole. You know, a lot of times we say, well, how did I get over here in this place? How did, you know, I always learned coming up as a child that anytime there's a way in something, there's a way out of something. The problem is that we get so comfortable in that what we're doing. We get so comfortable in that what we feel. We get comfortable in that what is not supposed to be convenient for us, and we stay there. You know, even in domestic violence relationships, maybe you've been in a broken home, or maybe you've been in a domestic violence situation. You know, and the first thing you ask that woman is, why are you still here? This man beat you for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He has you for snacks in between. He's a womanizer. He's an abuser. Why do you? Oh, because I love him. Oh, because I care so much about him. Oh, he really don't mean it. He just does that because he loves me. And so what happens is, as a result of being hurt, we then start making excuses. Can I tell you, I lived an excuse for years until I got so tired. You know, when you get tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, you get tired of yourself. Forget people around you. You begin to get tired yourself because there's something on the inside of you that generates daily, and it's called the inner you. And when you really tap in and plug into the inner you, to that person that's way down on the inside that you've been hiding and harboring and kidnapping your own self, being held in captivity by the thoughts that plague your mind day in and day out, you will get tired of yourself. You will look at yourself in the mirror and literally don't like what you see. But there is a way of escape for you tonight. You do not have to be broken all your life. You do not have to live in fear all your life. You do not have to live in hurt constantly over and over again. You know, I was talking to someone one day, and I was like, you know, I was like, I'm just tired. You know, I'm tired of being hurt. I'm tired of being hurt and this, that, and the third. I said, well, okay, what are you doing? What pattern, what lifestyle are you living to the point that it is attracting people that hurt you? What do you have written all over your face? What do you have, you know, on you? What stench do you have on you that attracts men that will constantly hurt you, wound you, scar you, throw you to the curb, curse you out? What do you have on you? Amen. That attracts these type of individuals. Because last I checked, men were supposed to respect women, vice versa. You know, but a lot of times we settle. You know, we're in a settling generation, and we settle for whatever it is. And then what happens after we settle, we start believing that that's the way as a woman that we are to be treated. Some women do not know what love looks like. Some men, because listen, women are not the only ones that are broken now. Women are not the only ones that are wounded. Women are not the only ones that are dealing with some type of hurt. But you have some men out there. You have some men that are dealing with hurt, that are dealing with some wounds and some bruises and scars and some abrasions and some things that in my time a curicone and things like that cannot heal you, cannot help you. You deal with men that have ups and downs. They have hurts, and what they do is they take it out on anyone that comes in their path. Hurt is like a hurricane. Hurt is like a tornado. It will build up and become a whirlwind in your life, and it'll just start tearing up everything and anything that is in its path, that's in its way, that's in its view. It will begin to tear it up. If you don't get help for your situation, if you don't get help, amen, for your past experience, you know, you ask people, well, you know, why are you like that? Oh, you know, because I've been hurt by this female, you know, this girl. Oh, why are you like that? Well, you know, this guy, this dude hurt me, you know, and I'm tired of being hurt. Well, my question to you is, how tired are you? Because when you're tired of being hurt to that degree, what will happen is, you know, you will start to live a lie. You will start to make excuses for yourself as to why you're doing what you do. There's no excuse for that type of behavior. There's no excuse, you know, for the way that you are acting. There's no excuse because you're acting out of character the way that you are. And so I admonish you on tonight, you know, that there is a way out for you, you know. And if God did it for me, and if God did it for others, you know, I'm sure that he could do the same thing for you. So you're going to find us in the book of Samuel tonight, 2 Samuel, the 13th chapter. Amen. Second Samuel, the 13th chapter. And we're going to talk about this girl, this beautiful girl named Tamar. And we're going to find out some things concerning Tamar that not only was in the Bible, but I am a Tamar. I am connected to some women and some men that have been Tamars. Amen. Glory to God. But I'm telling you, there is life after rejection. Come on. There is life after depression. You cannot keep carrying. Who am I talking to? Jesus. You cannot keep continuing and carrying the same weight and carrying the same hurt. Listen, it is so unfair, and I tell people all the time, I've told myself, it is unfair to carry the weight of another man's hurt. Listen, you don't make someone else pay for what you went through in your past. That's very unfair. That's unfair to treat that woman with such disrespect because a woman disrespected you in your lifetime. It is so wrong to tell that woman she takes advantage of you just because you're basing that present woman with that ratchet savage of a female, amen, that did what she did to you. I think that's very selfish and very disrespectful. It's very rude, amen, to hold someone hostage based on what someone else did to you in your past. I would admonish you and whoever else that this is applicable to, amen, to get rid of that. That's a spirit, to get rid of that, you know, because you will never be able to love anyone. You know, this is one of the biggest lies ever told, and, you know, I confirmed it, amen, with my pastor the other day, and I said, you know, I thought in my mind, I don't know why women think, amen, that they can change a man. I don't know what drives them or compels them to believe that, oh, I'm anointed for this. God has equipped me to love you past your pain, baby, to love you past your hurt, honey, to love you past your past. Listen, you not Jesus Christ. You ain't God the Father, Son, nor the Holy Ghost. Amen. You don't have the power to change anyone. If that man or that woman is not willing to change, or get this, willing to acknowledge that they even have a problem, amen, who are we to think that we are Batman and Robin, Starsky and Hutch, Cagney and Lacey, Batman and Robin, Superman, Spider-Man, superhero, superwoman? We're not like that. We cannot change that what don't want to change. It is what it is. Amen. Bada boo, bada bam. Amen. Glory to God. I can love him. I can love him. How can I love someone past themselves and they don't even love themselves? It's impossible. You can't love nobody past their hurt. Listen, women, we have bewitched our own self. We have fooled our own self. We have disgraced our own self. We have compromised our own self, thinking that we can change somewhat. You can't do it. You'll get stressed out. You'll have heart attacks. You'll have cardiac arrest. You'll be worrying your nerves to death. Worrying. You'll be picking tulips along the side of the road. Amen. You'll be, do he love me? He love me not. He love me. Listen here. I think in your 50s, in your 40s, your late, listen here. After a while, listen, there's just some things that you ain't going for no more. No, I ain't going for that no more. I went for that already. I already played the role of a domestic violent person. I've already played the role of a rape victim. I've already played the role of a fool. How long will I continue? How long must we continue to play the role of a fool? Amen. Glory to God. And so we're going to talk tonight. And we might have to just do a couple of segments of it, a couple of parts of it, if I don't finish it all tonight. Amen. But I know a lot of Tamars. Amen. There's no age on Tamar. Amen. This woman was broken. This woman was wounded. She was rejected. She was cast down. She felt forsaken, even by her own father. She felt forsaken because after she told her father what happened to her, you know, well, no, she never told her father, you know, because she felt within herself that if I tell him, he ain't going to do nothing about what happened to me. How many people, be real with yourself on this line? Amen. How many people have experienced some type of violation in their life, whether childhood or whether adulthood or in between? Amen. In adolescence or teenage, amen. How many of you ever had something done to you and you could not tell nobody? You couldn't tell your mother. Amen. You couldn't tell your father. If you told your mother, she would call you a whore, or she'll call you a slut, or she'll, you know, call you something demeaning and derogatory. You know, you couldn't tell your daddy because he was crazy, you know, and he might go and kill the person because you don't understand. You're young at age, you're a child. You don't understand what actually happened, but you do know that you were violated. You know, who can you run to? You know, at the point of being violated, let's talk about it. Who can we run to? Who can we go to and tell? And then what are we going to tell? Do we feel like we're pressed against the wall? Do we feel like our back is so up against the wall with this situation of violation that we, you know, we feel like we would have to, you know, maybe tell a couple of lies in between, or, you know, try to make the other person look good because, oh, I don't want to tell nobody because I don't want them to get in trouble, and, you know, a whole bunch of nonsense. But before I get into 2 Samuel 13, let me just tell my little story. Amen. Glory to God. I was violated by my grandfather. Yes, I hallelujah, and guess what? I don't care who don't like it. I don't care. I don't come on this line for people to like what I say. I don't come on this line for to be pulling strings like a puppet, and oh, my God, I didn't know, and she lying. And listen here, I don't have that kind of time. I need all that space and all that air to breathe. I'm telling you what I experienced. We're an open book on the line, and I realized a long time ago, if God gives me the ability and gives me the strength to talk about what happened to me as a child, I'm going to tell it, because there's too many people out there that's living a lie. There's too many hurting women, too many hurting men out there, amen, that wish they could talk to somebody and wish they could just, you know, bust that jaw open and just really let out. Amen. Glory to God. Listen, there is a cost when you open up your mouth and you begin to tell the truth. But the Bible says, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. And shall know the truth, and the truth, it won't set you free, but the truth will make you free. Because when you're made free, you're complete in every area and aspect of your life. And God wants to complete, even with the woman with the issue of blood. He just didn't want to complete the healing part where she bled out for so long, but she had other issues she was dealing with. She was dealing with people. She was dealing with the stains of her past. She was dealing with the stains of her family, not wanting to be bothered with her. But when God connected with her, her faith made her whole. And the Bible says you don't have to live in fear anymore, woman, with this issue. You don't have to live like nobody don't love you no more, but you could go in peace. He not only healed her, he made her whole, and he told her, go in peace. How many people on this line don't even have peace? Because they feel like if I let it out, if I spill the beans, my grandma ain't going to like me no more. Oh, if I spill the beans, they're going to think that I was a trick, or they're going to think I was a whore, or they're going to think I was a slut, or they're going to think I'm a chicken head, or they're going to think, they could think whatever they want to think. And at the end of the day, I dealt with it, I healed from it, I forgave for it, and I moved on from it. And I'm coming to get all of every last one of my family members, every last one of them, amen, from the third generation, the fourth generation, I'm coming to get them. I'm coming to get them. I'm coming to get them. Some of them already got God. God done got a hold of them, and I'm telling you, I'm so proud of them. Glory to God, they done moved on, and they got healed and whole, amen. They living in peace, got their families, got their children, amen, and doing a wonderful job, amen, because of someone, amen, that violated them in the family, didn't think that they could ever have children. Come on, y'all. Didn't think that nobody would ever love them. Amen. Didn't think that no one would ever accept them for who they were because of the stains that they had as a child. Well, I'm here to make the devil mad and don't care. Don't give a snap, crackle, pop. Amen. Pop goes the weasel on tonight. Amen. Because it's time out for keeping quiet. It's time. The devil wants to seal your lip with potty grip. The devil wants you to hold it in. The devil wants you to fear that nobody's going to love you and nobody's going to like you and nobody's going to invite you to the barbecue no more. Who cares? Have a party by yourself. Amen. The moment we get peace and the moment that God delivers us from what we went through in the past, that is the best day and the first day of a new beginning in your life. That is the beginning of another chapter in your book. Amen. Glory to God. So me, personally, I was violated by my father's brother at 5, my uncle. Glory to God. I was violated again at the age of 12 and 13 by my grandfather, which was my mother's father. Amen. Glory to God. And I will never forget, we were in a generational curse revival. And this is the day that I learned, round about in 2007. This is a day that I learned about forgiveness, because I thought, how in the world can I forgive someone who is no longer on earth? He had died. Glory to God. He done went on about his business, did what he did. Amen. Never apologized. Glory to God. Never said, forgive me. I had a problem. Never, none of that. I'm the one that had to bear that burden. I'm the one that had to bear that stain. I'm the one that had to take that pain. I'm the one that had to take that blow. Amen. Glory to God. But God, that's all I could say, is but God. And I remember being in that revival, and I remember the woman of God saying, you know, Pastor Rose, you're going to have to forgive for what was done to you. And I said, I can't, because he's dead. He's not going to hear me if I say. And she told me to denounce the name of my family member. And I'm telling you, when I denounced, it was hard at first, because the enemy wanted to keep me bound. He wanted to stifle me. He wanted to suffocate me. He wanted to cause me not to breathe. He wanted to cause me to have heart palpitations. Why? Because he knew that I was at the brink. I was at the verge of a breakthrough. He knew that I was at the point of my deliverance. Glory on your fire. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I was on the brink. Listen, just when you're at the brink of a breakthrough, just when you're right about to get it, just when God is about to step in and heal your body and to make you whole and send you away being at peace within yourself by what happened to you in your past, up come the devil. Amen. And when I try to tell you, I tried to say the name of the family member and I could not get that name out my mouth for nothing in the world. And all I remember is the woman of God putting her hand up on my, under my neck. See, some of y'all don't know about that old-fashioned deliverance. Amen. Glory to God. And that's why I teach people, even in my upcoming book, amen, everybody's not going to go to a building deemed a sanctuary and called church. Amen. There are people that are hurting. There are people that are dying within themselves. Amen. And they can't even get to the house of God, but they got a place that they call home. Amen. And so at the end of my chapters in my book, amen, I give you a self deliverance process that you can say, amen, that will free you, that will heal you, that will make you have peace within yourself. And she put her hand up under my neck, and I'm telling you, I said, I denounce so and so and so and so in the name of Jesus. And all I remember is falling out on that floor and rolling from one end of that church to the other end of that sanctuary. And all she could do was say, let her roll, let her roll. She got to roll out. Glory to God. She got to get that unforgiveness out. She got to see, because I thought he had to be living. I thought that he had to hear me say, I thought, no, I'm the victim. I'm not the offender. Amen. I'm the victim. Amen. So the minute I release his name, I'm about to help you today. The minute I release his name out of my belly, glory to God, because I wanted God to free me from this. I did not want to carry this, that is not in another marriage, not in another relationship. I didn't want this to be a burden on my kids because of my life, because of what I experienced in my life. So I had to roll that thing by any means necessary. I had to get that thing up out of me. And that woman of God told me, she said, let me tell you something. Forgiveness is not for him. Glory to God, it's not for him to hear. It's not for him to see. It's not for him to be here. But forgiveness was for me. I needed to forgive in my heart that I would be healed, that I would be at peace, that I would be made whole by the power of a living God that I serve. Amen. Glory to God. I don't need nobody asking me no questions. Don't call me and ask me when, where, what. Glory to God. Just know it was there. Amen. Just know I lived through it. Amen. And I had a conversation with my mom. I ain't even getting this word yet. Amen. I'm just telling my testimony. Amen. Because I know it's going to help somebody on the line tonight. Glory to God. And me and my mom was talking round about in 2009. She passed away in 2012. And we were just merely talking. I was in Miami and she was in New York. And we just having a conversation about food. And I don't know how we went from food to what we began to talk about. And I said, yeah, Ma, you know that's what Granddad did to me. And all you heard was pure silence on the phone. I said, hello. And she yelled to the top of her voice and she said, that bastard, I will never ever forget it as long as I live. Glory to God. I said, Mama, why are you calling your father a bastard? What's the problem? Well, because he did the same thing to me when I was 11, 12, and 13. And let me tell you something. My mom at that time, I believe, was 62, 63 years old. Mama, you carried that thing for 50-something years? She said, why didn't you tell me? I said, why didn't you tell your mother? Because you know if you'd have told your mother would have killed you. So I thought the same thing. If I tell my mama that, my mama ain't going to hardly believe that her father did this to me. How many people out there think the same way? And so the enemy has you hostage by your own emotions. He holds you captive. He kidnaps you in the very thoughts that plague your mind. That if I open up my mouth and if I tell someone, they're not going to believe me. No way. Ain't no sense in telling this one because they're going to call me fast. They're going to think I was out tricking. They're going to call me a savage. They're going to call me a whore. You think about every bad thing that the person that you feel like you can talk to will call you so many derogatory names to where you just think it's better for you to shut up. But I'm so glad that my mother, even in her 60s, she was able to get that out of her spirit before she left this earth. Who wants to die? It's bad enough that you got
Glory to God, you got to be buried under 6 feet of dirt. But it's one thing to be buried under 6 feet of dirt and you got 6 pounds of dirt in your heart. You got unforgiveness in your heart. Amen. You got jealousy in your heart. You got anger in your heart. You got bitterness in your heart. Amen. Glory to God. You got evilness in your heart. You got tit for tat in your heart. And when my mother left here, November the 8th, 2012, I told her, get on that phone right now. She started calling everybody she thought had a problem with her, anybody she offended. She got that stuff out of her heart. My mother died a free woman and a believer because it was my son, amen, that according to Romans 10, 8, and 9, led my mother, amen, to illuminated cross, amen, led her to Jesus Christ by her confession, amen, glory to God. So I don't have no regrets. Amen. I have people in my family now. They ain't talking to me. Oh, well. Glory to God. They don't invite me nowhere. It's all good because they never did. Amen. Glory to God. They don't fool with me. I don't bother them. They don't bother me. Do I hate them? Of course not. Because at the end of the day, I am not going to bust hell wide open for not walking in love. Amen. People, you will love on people, and people will still hover over you, what you done said and what you done, and all this other kind of nonsense. We don't have time for that. Jesus is soon to come. We don't have time to be harboring unforgiveness and bitterness and anger, you know, and tick for tack, and she hurt me, I'm hurt her back, and all kind of stuff. People have no clue what I endured as a child. People have no clue what I endured on the outside of my family. They have absolutely no clue. You don't have a clue unless I tell you. You don't know what it feels like for a cousin to come to you and tell you they got feelings for you. What you mean? You got feelings for me, bro? You blood of my blood. What you talking about? First, second, third cousin, I don't care. We are related. These feelings that you have, they are not of God. They are not normal. They are not human for you to have these type feelings. Amen. And so you have family. I'm not a little son. You have family that you have in your bloodline. You have the spirit of perversion. You have the spirit of whoredoms. Yeah, Papa was not the only rolling stone. You got cousins, ma'am. Amen. Glory to God. You got uncles, ma'am. Amen. Glory to God. You got family members, ma'am. Amen. That have done some things to you that you will never be able to tell. But I come to free you today. Free yourself, Fantasia said. Free your mind. The rest will follow. A destiny child, somebody said it. Free yourself by the power of a living God. Hallelujah. Free yourself from fear. Free yourself from, they might not love me no more. Listen, they did the same thing to Jesus. Who are we? We're no greater than the master. And I had to come to grips with that. I don't care who don't like me. Nobody paying my bills over here. Glory to God. Everything I have, God gave it to me. Amen. Anything I need, God gives it to me. God blesses people to bless me. Amen. I ain't got to do no somersaults. I ain't got to do no carousels. I ain't going to do no sex acrobatics. I ain't got to turn and flip upside down. Amen. For somebody to pay my light bill, y'all ain't saying nothing to me today. Amen. And then I'm blaming it on the alcohol. No, the devil is a lie. Or I'm blaming it on my past. Or I'm blaming it on because of what daddy did and what Uncle Bobo did and all this other kind of foolishness. Get delivered. Be thou set free in the matchless name of a living God, Jesus Christ. Be free. Her don't live here anymore. Glory to God. Her is not my testimony anymore. I learned how to guard my heart. I learned, amen, how not to live in fear because of what someone did to me. Glory to God. Don't judge me. Amen. Don't talk about me. Find out how you can help me. Find out if I'm okay. Find out if your sister's okay. She's struggling. Amen. She was violated. She was raped. Glory to God. Find out if she's okay. Stop trying to be nosy and find out, oh, who she talking about or what cousin did this or what cousin did that. That ain't none of your business. The point of the matter is, how can you help me? Glory to God. I ain't come to play no games, amen, because I feel, amen, in the spiritual realm, amen, there's people attached to this broadcast, this episode on tonight, amen, you're hurting, amen, glory to God, you have a suicidal thoughts and tendency, glory to God, you just want to give up on life because you don't have nobody to tell because nobody's going to believe you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you got to get that stuff. You got to rid that stuff out of your system. You got to rid that stuff out of your spirit, man. You got to get that stuff, get that dung. The Bible calls it dung, D-U-N-G. Amen. Glory to God. You got to get that ish up out of your soul. Amen. It's affecting your mind, your will, and your emotional realm. You will never have a steady relationship. You will never, hallelujah, oh, glory to God, be solidified in anything if you don't get rid of that hurt. Hurt don't live here anymore. Amen. Find another address, hurt. Find somebody else to play with. Find somebody else to be your puppet. Find somebody else to be your boyfriend. Find somebody else, hurt, to be your girlfriend, because I ain't having it over here. It don't live here anymore. And so, 2 Samuel, the 13th chapter, beginning at the first verse, it says, and it came to pass after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister. Her name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now, David had 19 children. He had 19. The Bible says he had 19. You know, most of them were boys. Amen. Now, the thing about it is, they were from different women. Glory to God. David had a problem, too. Amen. Anything that has ever happened in this earthly realm, believe it happened before. And this is why Solomon said, all things are vanity. Everything under the sun is nothing but a repeat. You know, if someone has raped you, robbed you, molested you, took advantage of you in your childhood, whatever the case may be, believe it's in the Bible. You'll find a lot of what you're dealing with in a lot of situations that you went through. If you only pick up that thing that had that book that got the dust on it that you ain't reading who God is, amen. And if you would just read it, amen. If you just open that book and read it, you'll find your own healing and breakthrough and deliverance right in the Word of God, because someone went through the same thing that you went through. And this is why we make it so real on Severely Cut and Recovered Strong. Not all the time people recover. And if they do recover, they don't always come back strong. As a matter of fact, they may come back strong, so they think, amen, in their mind, and then they regress. They relapse again. Amen. Glory to God. Hurt don't live here anymore. And so David had a son. One of his sons' name was Absalom. One was called Amnon. But Absalom and Tamar had the same mother, same father. Amnon had the same father, but a different mother. So you could consider Tamar Amnon's half-sister, okay? Verse 2 said, and Amnon was so vexed, that word vexed meaning being interpreted, irritated, that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. Now let me tell you something. Tamar and Absalom, Tamar was a very good-looking young lady. She had it going on from head to toe. She was very beautiful, and that's why the Bible says that David, Absalom, had a fair sister. So Amnon's half-sister name was Tamar, and she had very fair skin. She's very fair skin in today's time. Let me just build my case. She was red-boned. Amen. She was red-boned. Amen. She had Brazilian hair. Let me just build my case. Amen. She had a Coca-Cola shape, not the three-liter bottle, but she probably was a 16-ounce. Amen. Glory to God. And so the Bible says that her half-brother, which was Amnon, same father, half-brother, different mother, amen, he fell irritated. He was so vexed that he fell sick. He was lovesick for his own sister. Now, listen, whether it's a half or a whole, it's still blood related. Y'all got the same daddy. There's no sort of, oh, well, you know, we could date. We could go together because, you know, we got the same daddy, but we got different mothers. It's still the same father. Amen. That's still incest. Glory to God. You have children sleeping with children. You have cousins sleeping with cousins. I don't care if it's a fifth, sixth generation, a cousin is a cousin. Amen. Not unless you just don't know that's your family member or that's your cousin. Amen. Knowing that is a far distant cousin. If you know that aforetime, that does not give you a free ticket to get in the relationship. Get in a relationship with them. Amen. And so the Bible says that he became like madly in love. He became sick for his own sister, for she was a virgin. Amnon knew, the half-brother Amnon knew that she was a virgin. And the Bible says that Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. So in his mind, he thought, it's hard. I can't do anything to her. So already he's violating in his mind. Amen. You see, before you violate physically, you violate mentally. Amen. That's what people don't understand. You just don't get up in the morning and decide you want to have sex with your sister. You see, you plan, you plot that. You premeditate those thoughts that come to your mind. You act it out as though it already happened in your mind. And that's why when it comes down to actually physically performing the act and violating the act, glory to God, it means nothing to you because you've already done played that role. You already done acted it out in your mind. You already knew if you was going to swing from a chandelier or be handcuffed to the bedpost. You already got that thing already wrapped up in your mind. So when you bring it to pass in the physical realm, it don't even bother you. It don't even disturb you. It disturbs you in your mental, in your psyche at first. But the more you entertain your psyche and the more you entertain subconsciously these sexual thoughts and these sexual vibes and these sexual impurities and all this other kind of things pertaining to what it is you want to do with who you want to do it with, eventually you'll act out on it. And so verse 3 says, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Oh, this man was something else. Like, I still family. I'm thinking Shimeah, David's brother. I'm thinking maybe an uncle to David, something like that. David's uncle or cousin, something like that. But the Bible calls it a friend. He was a friend of Amnon. But you could have a family member that's considered as your friend or whatever the case. But the Bible says that this man was a very subtle man. You know, this man was very cunning. He was very conniving, manipulative. He was very sneaky. Verse 4 says, and he said unto him, why art thou being the king's son lean from day to day? Listen, Amnon started losing weight. This man had a problem. He had a problem, y'all. He was so lovesick for his beautiful half-sister that the Bible says that they begin to ask him, his friend asked him, man, you losing weight. What's wrong? You on dope? You on crack? What's wrong? Boy, you amazing. You look bad. What's wrong with you losing weight? Your face sucking in? What's wrong with you? Amen. And the Bible says, will thou not tell me? Tell me what's wrong with you, man. Come on, bro. Come on. Tell me what's wrong with you. And Amnon told Jonadab, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Put a pin right there. This Negro has absolutely no respect for his half-sister. He says, I love Tamar as though she's some woman from across the way somewhere in another country, my brother Absalom's sister. Negro, that's your sister too. It may be a half and a whole to Absalom, but this is still your blood sister because she came from your daddy. Amen. So already mentally, he's already rejected. Y'all better hear me today. Already, I told you, anytime the enemy is on the scene, before he commits anything physical, he has a mental setup. He already set up shop in his mind. He know how he's going to play the role. He know what part he's going to play. He already rejected Tamar as not even being anything to him, not even a sister. He said, I am in love with my brother's sister. And Jonadab, verse 5, said unto him, lay on the bed. Man, go lay down. And make yourself sick. He was already lovesick, but his so-called friend, that's why you got to be careful who you call friend. Amen. Glory to God. It ain't about who you call friend. You better know who your friend is. This friend, actually, everything from verse 1 to verse 4 that Amnon was feeling and had done already pictured in his mind, his so-called friend Jonadab ain't make it no better. He said, man, I tell you what you do. You sick, you wanna? How bad you wanna, bruh? How bad you wanna smash? How bad you wanna hit that? How bad you wanna lay with that? How bad you wanna get that? How bad you wanna do this, that, and the third with that right there? Get him there. Okay, we're going to see right now. He told the friend, said, lay down on the bed and make yourself sick. That being translated, you already love sick. You already got to love Jones in verse 1, 2, or 3. But I want you to do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. You really want to? How bad do you want that girl? Let me tell you something. Lay down and play sick. Make like you are sick. And when your father comes in to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it out of her hand. What you say? What a setup that Jonadab, his friend, told him to do. Lay down and play sick. And if your daddy David asks you, boy, what you laying down there? It's pure daylight. It's morning. What you still laying in that bed for? Amen. Glory to God. You know, something got to be wrong with that man if he laying down, amen, all day, and he out there on somebody's job, or he ain't, or he working, or he off that day. Oh, you still you sick? He said, if David asks you, if your father asks you what's wrong with you, pray to him, ask him, bid him, please. I don't want nobody else in here but Tamar. I don't want nobody to take care of me. I don't want nobody to bring me no food. I don't want nobody to make me no pound cake. I don't want nobody to make me no upside down pineapple cake, amen, with cheese on top. I don't want nobody doing nothing for me but Tamar. Why? Because he already had mentally in his psyche, he had already slept with her. He had already envisioned himself, glory to God, having sex with his own sister in his mind. Amen. He says, I don't want nobody but Tamar to come and give me, to come and feed me. Let me eat right out of the palm of her hand. And so verse 6 says, so Amnon lay down and made himself sick. I probably would, and at you, I mean, just really going through the motions. You know, sometimes men can really go through the motions when they want attention. Amen. He was really trying to get Tamar's attention. Glory to God. So he made himself sick in verse 6, and when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, he said, wait a minute, where am I? He said, okay, the king, and then when the king was come to see him, when David went to go see Amnon, he said unto him, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I might eat at her hand. Let's put a pin right there by in my sight. Amen. What the word say? Amen. In the book of John, I believe 2 John, glory to God. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world or in the world is what? The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. This man had it so bad for his own sister, amen, that he demanded that when she brings him food, make sure she's right in his view. Make sure she ain't way across the room. Make sure she's right in front of me so I can just, you know, is there any more room for me in them jeans? Hey, guess what? I need to see her right there in front of my face. I want to see how she makes. I want to see how she moves when she stir that bowl. I want to see how she groove when she get that pot going. I want to see. I just want to be a babe. See, he's building up in his psyche. He's building a case up in his mind only to reject her. He already rejects her mentally when he says, I have a thing for my brother's sister. Not his sister, his brother's sister. Glory to God. He said, make me a couple of cakes in my sight. I want to be able to look and adore her beauty. I just want to be able to see everything about her, the way she walked, the way she talked, the way she just do things. I want to be able to see that. So make sure when she's making these cakes and stuff, make sure she right in my sight where I could see her, that I may eat at her hand. Verse 7, then David sent home to Tamar. David ain't had a piece of sense his own self. Amen. Because he allowed. He was the king. Amen. And he allowed. Amen. He allowed. He didn't do nothing about it. You'll see, he allowed this foolishness because he refused to deal with his sons. Remind me of Eli. Amen. How Eli allowed his sons, glory to God, to have sex with the ushers at the door, with the women in the tabernacle. Amen. And the Bible says, glory to God, that Eli died. Basically, he broke his neck, sat in a chair, broke his neck. Listen here. You can't call yourself, you know, all this, that, and the third in the Lord, amen, and you don't deal with your children. You let anything slide. You let, oh, they just going through a phase. Oh, you let anything go. Anything goes. Oh, it's all right. God will deal with them. No, God's going to deal with you. Amen, because he put the mandate on you as the parent, amen, to correct them. Now, if they still go and do what they want to do or want to be grown or whatever, as long as you did your part, I don't believe that God will hold you liable because you've done everything in your power, amen, for that child. And that child had a mind of its own, decided to run away or whatever the case they decided to do, but you did your part. As long as you do your part. Amen. As long as you do your part. But David, he dropped the ball big time. We're going to see. Amen. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house. And he, now listen, look what just jumped at me in verse 8. Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house. Tamar recognized that Amnon was her brother. But if you go to verse 4, go back up some, Amnon is having a conversation with Jonadab, his friend, and says, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. He didn't acknowledge Tamar as his sister. But look, in verse 8, is it? Tamar acknowledges him as her brother. He says, so Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. And she took flour, because she already got the word from her daddy, from Daddy David. Amen, that Amnon didn't want nobody but her to come and take care of him. And the Bible says she took flour, verse 8, and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan, verse 9, and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have out all men for me. And they went out every man from him. Listen, here's the plot right here. Here's the plot right in 9. He didn't want her to come, and he wanted to arouse. He wanted to play. He wanted her to make the cake so he could watch her movements and watch. With, remember, Tamar was a virgin. Amen. Glory to God. So he had to build up in his mind. He had to make a movie in his mind. He had already created a video. Oh, glory to God, of what he was going to do and how he was going to break it down. Amen. And how he was going to do this, that, and the third. He already built that up in his psyche, in his mindset. Glory to God. Boy, I tell you, a mind is a terrible thing to waste when you got one. Amen. So, in other words, in verse 9, he says, hold up. Away with them cakes, baby girl. Put them cakes. I ain't hungry. But hold up. You told daddy, you know, to send me down here so that I could make you some cakes in your sight. Yeah, I know what I told daddy, but, I got another agenda. I got something else going on in my head, in my mind. Amen. Glory to God. At this time, Amnon was not thinking, hey, glory to God, thinking with his top head. He was thinking with that bottom baseball bat and them two baseballs he had down there. Amen. Anytime you get somebody that does more thinking with their bottom head than their top head, you'll lead it to destruction. Glory to God. Amen. And so the Bible says that Amnon told all of the men, told all of the people, get from Rock, man. Y'all get out of here, man. I'm finna smash this. Amen. I'm finna hit this. Amen. I'm finna bang this. I'm finna slam this. Amen. Glory to God. He already had them build him up a good case in his head, had a nice video in his head, a nice movie going on in his head, had to set his whole mind set up. Amen. Because he was about to do this thing. Amen. And the Bible says, and they went out every man from him. Glory to God. And verse 10 said, and Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber that I may eat of thine hand. And took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. Amen. Oh, he wanted his cake and his snack. He wanted his meat and his dessert. He wanted his entree and he wanted his appetizer. He wanted his entree and he wanted some dessert. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 11, and when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. Oh, now he's acknowledges her as his sister. But in verse 4, it was Absalom's sister. But now, come lie with me, my sister. Amen. You see how the devil had him bamboozled, how the devil had him tricked out of his mind over flesh. Amen. Had them build up a whole sexual version in his mind. Glory to God. And the Bible says in verse 12, and she answered him, no, my brother, no, my brother. This lady pleaded with her life. Amen. Glory to God. No, my brother, please don't force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Please do not do thou this folly. This was folly. This was buffoonery. This was buffoon. This was absolutely stupid. It was crazy. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. It was out of the norm. He was out of control. And verse 13 said what? And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? Me. Think about me. This is me. This is my life. I'm a virgin. What am I going to do? Where's my shame going to go? What am I going to feel? I can't do this. And as for you, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. She said, you foolish. You thinking foolish. You acting foolish. You behaving out of character. You ain't trying to hear me right now. Listen here. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king. Go unto your father, which is my father, David, for he will not withhold me from thee. I guess it was permissible in that time with the permission of the king or of the parent or whatever the case may be. Amen. But she said, listen, before you speak and do it, go get permission from my father. Ask my father, can you have me before we commit this sin, before you, amen, commit this violation. Amen. So the Bible says in verse 14, howbeit, he wasn't trying to hear y'all. I'm just putting it down in layman terms. The Bible says, howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice. Listen. But being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. He had sex with her. He wasn't trying to hear nothing about, go ask daddy, could you have me? Go ask this. What man, what person goes and asks for permission to rape anybody? To force someone, rape, force someone, violate someone against their own will. He wasn't even trying to hear what she had to say. He didn't care nothing about her being broken into. He didn't care nothing about her hymen being broken. Oh, y'all ain't talking to me today. Oh, glory be to God. He didn't care nothing about her feelings. He didn't care whether or not she felt shame or felt some type of way or felt some type of embarrassment. Glory to God. I could just imagine this whole scenery. Amen. She probably put her hands over her face as he began to juke in her body. Glory to God. You got to remember the Bible says that Tamar, amen, yes, she was beautiful to look at, but at the same time, Tamar was a virgin. Amen. Glory to God. And you men out there, you know how it is. Glory to God. If you done got you a whole or some what they used to call a high school, some fresh meat, some freshman meat. Oh, glory to God. Glory be to God. Some meat that never been touched. Amen. Meat that never been looked at, never been touched, never been nothing. Amen. Just pure and raw. Glory to God. Amen. And I can imagine this is her first time. Oh, glory to God. And I know she didn't want her first time to be with her brother, for God's sake. Oh, glory be to God. But could you imagine the shame that she was feeling, the embarrassment? Do you understand a woman's body? When you go into a woman's body, glory to God, different women have different size wombs. Oh, glory to God. Yes, I'm going there tonight. Yes, I am. Glory to God. Amen. Especially if it's tight, like a hand glove. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And so, to me, in my book, I would rather prepare myself if I'm going to have intercourse with someone or whatever the case may be. Prepare. You have to prepare. Women have to prepare their womb. Come on now. They got to. They just can't. That's why I don't understand how women could just sleep with anybody. How women could just go from man to man to man. Big man, little man, wide man, down man, a short man, weak man, whatever man it is. Here man, there man, everywhere man. Man, I just don't understand it, because your body goes through changes. Women, let me help you out. Don't you know when we stop lying to men, when we get in relationships about you the best I ever have, you the best, the best I ever had, lying through your teeth. You know that ain't the only man. That ain't nobody else for me. Ain't nobody could do it like you could do it. Stop lying, because one thing that God has anointed a man, glory to God, to know in his mind, that when he begins to penetrate that female, he can tell whether or not she's a railroad track, if she's a train track, or whatever kind of thing is going on. He can tell how many people she's been with. He can tell. Glory to God. It's something about a woman's body. And so Tamar's body was fresh. Tamar's body, glory to God, it was tight. It never been touched. It never been used by nobody. Glory to God. And this man, her brother, her own flesh and blood, had absolutely no respect for her body at all. Let put a pin right there 1 second. Let me talk about men and women in relationships. If you're in a relationship with someone, oh, they're not your husband, or they are your husband, but no, let me talk about, you know, if they're in a relationship and you know, they're not in the Lord, whatever the case may be, and they're having intimacy, amen, with their significant other, whatever the case may be. Let me tell you how you know when a man respects you. When you finish, y'all listen up to me. If you are laying down and you're having sex, if you're having intercourse, amen, with your significant other, your boyfriend, your man, your dude, your tall drink of water, your sugar in your pound cake, and your sugar in your tea, amen. And if you lay there, and after you all have finished that little minute and 30 seconds, if it was that long, glory to God, if he just leaves you in that bed and go continue doing whatever he was doing, that man don't care nothing about you. How you feel? How does that make you feel? But get this, if you have intimacy with this man, and that man go in that bathroom, and he get a washcloth, y'all ain't saying nothing to me tonight, I'm talking real, amen. If he goes in that bathroom, and he get a washcloth, and either he wipes you off, or he gives you the rag and let you do it, he care a little something about you. Anybody can just do you in, break you in, and walk off like nothing never happened. How do you feel after that? How do you feel if you was a virgin? Amen. How do you feel, amen, glory to God, when you have not been broken in, glory to God, in a long time, when you stayed celibate and you held on to yourself and you kept yourself for your husband or whatever the case may be, and you let your guard down for 1 minute, amen, and 39.2 seconds, glory to God. How do you feel after that? You feel embarrassed. You feel shameful. You feel rejected. You become an overnight stalker. You want to search in their phones. You want to look in their wallet for numbers. You want to go on their Instagram. You want to go on their Twitter. You want to buzz open their Facebook account. You become a wild woman because you let your guard down. It's not that man's fault. Glory to God. Stop blaming everybody and blame yourself for letting your guard down, for letting your drawers down. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. That's real talk right there. That's real talk. Amen. 101. Back to the word. word of God. Amen. And the Bible says what? Howbeit, he wasn't trying to hear her, verse 14. He wasn't trying, amen, the louder she got, amen, the stronger he became. He forced her and he had sex with her. And the Bible says in verse 15, we're almost wrapping it up. Glory to God. He said, then Amnon hated her. Now, hold on. Now, because they got a song out. That can't come to me right now. But the song basically saying, you know, you're in love one minute, and then the next minute you can't stand one another. Something like that. How you all of a sudden you love me in verse one? You could, even though she didn't know that at the time, but now he goes from love to hate. I love you as long as this. I love you as long as that. But you ain't even got no fight. You ain't who you say you was. You ain't even. And then the enemy will try to play on your emotions. He'll play on your intelligence. He'll make you feel like a nickel bag worth of, you talk about a nickel bag worth of weed. He'll make you feel like a nickel bag worth of dirt. You ain't even worth 5 cents in Chinese money. Glory be to God. The enemy, after he done got you down, amen, glory to God, he'll put his foot in your neck and make you feel so broken. He'll leave you feeling so rejected and so valueless, so worthless. Glory be to God. Amen. Amen. And the Bible said, then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater. How in the world the hate that he now felt after he broke her in, glory be to God. And let me tell you something. When you break a virgin in, they bleed. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me, because you're forcing penetration. You're forcing yourself against that person's will. She ain't trying to open up and say, nah, she ain't trying to do that. Glory to God. She ain't trying to have no birthday sex. Amen. She don't want to have sex, period. So her strength against your strength, amen, she don't stand a chance. It's a no-win situation. It's a no-brainer. Amen. Because once a man has tackled you to that degree, amen, he has control over you. And he forced himself into his sister. He forced his way in. It was forced entry, breaking in and entering beyond her control. And the Bible says in verse 15, the minute he stopped, after he laid with her, amen, he despised her. He hated her gut. He didn't want to look at her no more. She disgraced him. She was no more under the Messiah. She was no more beautiful in his sight. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. But it ain't like she opened up. It's not like she was willing. Amen. This was all on her brother Amnon. And the Bible says that the hate that he had was greater, glory to God, than the love that he first started out with her. You see, they'll tell you in the beginning, oh, I love you, baby. Oh, it ain't nobody like you. Oh, I ain't never seen nobody do the things you do. You know, we could paint as men, as women, we could paint that picture real good to get what we want. Oh, girl, you know you got it on. You know, doggone well, that girl ain't got it on. Amen. She ain't got it going on. Amen. But you'll do anything just to get inside her sugar time walls. You'll tell her anything. And women will be a fool enough to believe it. Why? Because we may have self-esteem. Why? Because we don't value who we are. We don't know who we are. We don't know whose we are. We're not comfortable with our forehead. We're not comfortable that we don't have no hair. We're not comfortable because we have a big nose. We're not comfortable because we're overweight. We're not comfortable because we wear a size 12 shoe. We're not comfortable because we're overweight. We're oversized. We're overworked. Glory be to God. We're not comfortable because we don't have no edges. We're not comfortable because a whole lot of other things. So all it does would take the wrong man with the wrong spirit, glory to God, to come and feed us and give us things that we haven't even never heard or haven't heard in a long time, vice versa, even with the men. Oh, baby, you know ain't nobody like you. You know ain't nobody could do it like you. Oh, baby, whatever you need, I'm here for you. Yeah, you here for you, 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 and you. And let the church say amen. Glory be to God. Amen. But this man, he started to despise Tamar. Verse 16, and she said unto him, there is no cause. Why do you hate me all of a sudden? Why did you lure me in here to feed me? Why did you play sick? Why did you play like you was about to die? Why did you play on my intelligence? Why did you scar me? Why did you wound me? Why did you heal me? Why did you break me in? Why did you hurt me? Why do you despise me? Why do you hate me? Why did you bring me to shame? Why did you reject me? Why? Why? Can you answer me why? She said, this evil is sending me away is greater than the others that thou didst unto me. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. This hurt that you did to me is not even compared to what's been done before to somebody else or somebody else that you did the same thing to. This hurt that I feel, Yamani Osaya, this hurt that I feel can't be compared, oh glory to God, with anybody. This thing that I carry around on my job, this hurt that I take from relationship to relationship, this hurt that I feel down deep on the inside of my gut, this hurt that I've been carrying in marriage after marriage after marriage, this hurt that I've been carrying around, amen, in my luggage, getting on American Airlines and Delta Airlines, amen, and Spirit Airlines and JetBlue, and I went all across the West Coast. I went all up and down the East Coast carrying around this hurt, and this hurt don't feel good. Why don't you like me anymore? Glory to God. And that's one thing that women, amen, that we go through, amen, after you don't lay down with somebody, you expect that man to love you. You expect that man, glory to God, amen, to be there for you. You expect so much more out of that man because you feel like you gave that man a pearl. You feel I'm on the outside. You feel like you gave that man something very dear to you, which is your virginity, amen, which is a love that's deeper than any love. When you have intimacy with someone, when you have sex with someone, you're entwining yourself with them. Your emotions become their emotions the more you lay. Glory to God, their emotions, because your emotion is eventually, amen, it's called a soul tie. All of a sudden you get sick. You're sick in love, glory to God, which actually is not love, amen. It might be infatuation. It might be a strong spirit of lust. It might be lasciviousness. It might be evil concupiscence. It might be, amen, the very lust of your thoughts and the very lust of your flesh and the very lust of your mind. Glory be to God. But we think along the way that if I give myself up to him, he'll pay me more attention. Lies, Cora. Amen. If I have sex with him, amen, glory to God, and God help me, if I have a baby from him, he'll love me and the baby. Let me tell you one of the other biggest lies ever told. I don't care if you get that man 5 or 6 babies. Glory be to God. That ain't going to make him love you no more as if you didn't have no children from him. Stop thinking that if you have sex with somebody and you get pregnant on purpose, glory be to God, amen, that man's going to stick it out with you. Amen. Don't you think that you're the only one? Oh, glory be to God. These are things that women, we psych ourselves up in our minds. Just like Amnon did, we build pictures and we build pyramids in our mind and we have ourselves believing, amen, glory to God, that if I just love this way, or if I just shake, rattle, and roll this way, or if I sit, park, and ride this way, or if I slide down the pole this way, or if I have sex that way, or if I do a little sex dramatic this way, oh, glory to God, he's going to love me more. He is not going to love you more. He's going to disrespect you more, because in his mind, if you're doing it like that with him, God knows how many other men that you're doing the same thing. The same thing you're promising him is the same thing you promised Joey. The last thing, glory to God, you need right now is that, glory to God, because it will leave you hurt, and vice versa. Same thing with the man. Glory to God, same, so it is with the man, so it is with the woman. Amen. Glory to God. So she asks her brother, why you hate me? Why you want me out of here? And I could just imagine in my mind how he told her, get out, trash, piece of trash. You ain't nothing but a scat. You ain't nothing but a skank. You ain't nothing but a chicken head. You ain't nothing but a hoe. Get out my face. You this, you that, you that, you this. Amen. This is how the brother Amnon, after he pursued her, his own sister, this is how he talked to her. Amen. And the Bible says, then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out for me. Get her out away from me. And not only get this woman out of my presence, but shut the door and bolt it. In other words, get her out of my presence. I want her out of my house. Oh, my God, how humiliating is that? You know, Sadie, I was good enough. You no good, rotten scoundrel, you. I was good enough for you to lay inside. And glory to God, I was good enough for you to come inside. I was good enough for you to break me down like a fraction. And now you not only want me out of your presence, you want me out of your room. You want me out of your house. You want me out of your life as though I never existed. Ooh. Hurt don't live here no more, Jesus. Glory to God. Put now this woman out for me. Get out of here. And bolt the door after her. Probably slammed the door. Made her feel less than what she was worth. Probably slammed the door. And don't you come back no more. First of all, you asked for me to come here. I didn't ask to come see your ratchet behind. You told me. You sent word to my father to let Tamar come and serve me. Amen. Why don't men want to just deal with the issue that sometimes it is them? Women, sometimes it is us. Sometimes it is them. Amen. In this case, it was the man's fault. Amen. Glory to God. And the Bible says, and she had a garment of divers colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters, that they were virgins' apparel. Then his servant bore her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes, verse 19, on her head and rent her garment of divers colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. She know she was hurting. Come on, y'all. She was rejected. She was despised. And Absalom, verse 20, her brother said unto her, has Amnon, thy brother, been with thee? See, Absalom knew his brother was a slut puppy. Glory to God. He said, your brother, Amnon, what Amnon did to you, girl? What did he do? And the Bible says in verse 20, behold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. First of all, listen. As I said in the beginning when I told my testimony, I ain't telling my testimony for you to be nosy. I care less what you think. I don't care how you feel about what I said. This for the family, for the friends, for the in-laws, for the outlaws. I don't really care because that's my life. This is my life. Amen. That was my life then. This is my life now. Amen. Glory to God. This is something that I went through. I got over it. I'm going on in the name of the Lord. Her brother, Absalom, said, hold your peace, sis. Don't say nothing. That's the worst thing you could tell someone that's been violated. Don't say nothing. Because the enemy, the devil, Satan himself, thrives. He prays, he feeds, he eats off of silence. Amen. We need to break the silence in the family. I don't care who it hurt. I done hurt all this time. Wait a minute. Flip the script. What? It's time for somebody else to hurt now. I done been abused. Amen. I done been trodden over. I done been hurt. I done been molested beyond my will. What you say? Hey, hurt. Hurt don't live in my, hurt don't live over here no more. I'm tired of hurting. I got tired of carrying that weight. Amen. Absalom the sister. Same daddy, same mama said, sis, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. He is your brother. Yeah, but he doesn't feel, Amnon didn't feel like that was his sister. So why should she feel like, oh, that's her brother? She knows that's her brother. He said, regard not this day. Wait a minute. So in other words, Absalom told his sister, act like this never happened. Is it that what I know that what was told to me by one of my family members? Act like this thing even happened. Don't worry about it. You're gonna be all right. Just act like, don't say nothing. Don't act like it never happened. Oh, because family members have had you on a pedestal for so long, and you're afraid that you're on your throne, and you're afraid that if I open up my mouth, you're gonna be dethroned? Oh, is that what it is? Oh, so it's about you. Oh, my bad. It's about your ego. I don't care nothing about your ego. I don't care nothing about your pride. I don't care nothing about none of that. At the end of the day, this is my life. Amen. And that's what you all that are attaching this broadcast, if you hear this broadcast at a later time, if you go back and hear it over and over again, your voice matters. There's no way in the world you could be violated by a family member, an in-law, an outlaw, a friend, or whoever. Oh, glory be to God. And they tell you, regard not this thing. Don't even act like. First he told her to shut up. Don't say nothing to nobody. And then he said, act like it never happened. So the Bible says in verse 20, so Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. She remained desolate, poor thing. She remained without. She remained with the stain from her half-brother of what he done to her. But when King David heard of these things, he was very angry. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon, because he had forced his sister. Amen. Absalom began to hate Amnon. Amen. Because he had raped his own sister. Glory to God. And that's the end of that. Glory to God. But if you read on in your spare time, you'll see where Absalom literally kills his own brother. He kills Amnon. Amen. He sets him up and then he kills him. Glory to God. My question, why wasn't she able to go to her father? Not only that, where was her mother at this time? Good question. Glory to God. Amen. Let me just, in the last 10 minutes, let me just read. Glory to God. I just want to read. I want to read this little excerpt. Amen. Glory to God. It says, Tamar, a violated woman. Tamar is a role model for any woman who has ever tried to do right but was treated wrongly. From the account of Amnon and Tamar, it appears that Tamar was a respectable young woman who wanted to play by the rules. When her father, King David, instructed her to make a meal for her half-brother Amnon, Tamar did just as she was told. When her unscrupulous brother told her to serve him alone in his bedroom, Tamar did as she was instructed. Even as Amnon grabbed her, Tamar pleaded with him to stop and follow the rules. She told him that if he would just ask the king for her hand in marriage, they could be married and have sex the right way. While Amnon thought he was in love with her, we see that Amnon used her to gratify his immediate desires, and then he turned around and despised her. Listen, many of us are in situations like Tamar's. We try to live according to God's word. We've obeyed the laws of the land, but somehow we still keep getting violated. Someone betrays our trust. Someone manipulates our generosity. And before we know it, we're left living with the consequences of other people's poor choices and sinful acts. Amen. 2 Samuel 13 and 20 describes what happened to Tamar after the rape. She could not marry, so she lived with her brother Absalom as a desolate, broken, and violated woman. What can we learn from this tragic story? While it's hard to find anything positive here, it does force us to rethink how we treat victims. Do we cast aside those who struggle in life and live desolate, broken lives? Or do we remind them of the healing power of Christ? Do we share the stories of how Jesus took the time to speak to those who were the castaways of society? Do we show the same love Christ showed to the downtrodden, to the lost, the least, and the left out? With the love of Christ, we who try to do right and end up getting wronged do not have to live defeated lives. God will bring you from a place of defeat to a place of success. Our brokenness can be restored, and our tragedies can become testimonies of the true unconditional love of Christ. Let Tamar's story remind us to extend a hand and the love of Jesus to those who have been violated in any way. How do you treat your sisters or brothers who are struggling? And what can you do today to help someone who has been victimized? Amen. We thank and praise God. Broken but healed. Hurt don't live here anymore. Maybe you're out there, amen, and you're tuned in to this episode and, you know, you heard some things that applies to you or someone you know. Amen. Glory to God. And you want out. Glory to God. It takes a lot of strength. It took a lot of strength for me to talk about it. It was one time I couldn't even talk about what happened to me growing up. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. You know, I was harboring unforgiveness. I felt defeated. I felt lifeless. Amen. Glory to God. I felt like it was my fault. So many things the enemy brought to my mind. It was my fault and this, that, and the third. Amen. But I had to come to grips with myself one day when I chose to forgive those who violated me. And so now I now can boldly say that I've been broken, but I am healed and I am whole, and hurt really don't live here anymore. Amen. Glory to God. If you're not saved on tonight, or you want to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Romans 10:8-9, glory to God, it says that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God has raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, then you shall be saved. Amen. Glory to God. Ask God to heal you, amen, of the hurt that you feel. Cry out to God in your secret closet. Amen. Take a vacation by yourself. Amen. Get alone where it's just you and God and cry out. Glory to God. And most of all, forgiveness is not for the violator. It's not for the offender. It's for the victim. It's for the one who has been violated. In order for you to get healed and restored, glory to God, and renewed and revived and made whole, you have to forgive that person. Glory to God. You have to denounce the name of that person. You have to acknowledge that it happened. Glory to God. And then you have to forgive, and then you have to validate it with the word of God. Glory to God. Amen. If you would like to reach out to me, amen, glory to God, you can email me at scars.talk@gmail.com if you have any questions. Amen. And it's just some things you want to let off your chest. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. It'll be healthy for you. You cannot continue to walk around in life carrying dead weight, carrying baggage, while the offender or the violator, amen, if not in jail, if not dead, amen, is walking around sipping on gin and juice while you lay bruised and defeated. The devil is a liar. Glory to God. Amen. Our website is www.scars-talk.org. After this episode, you're more than welcome to comment in the comment section after the episode. Glory to God. I am so depleted at the moment. Praise God, because I've gave out a lot. And I feel the attacks, but I know I got people praying for me. Glory to God. I got a lot of people praying for me. I'm praying for my own self. Amen. You know, when you give out secrets, and when you give out, amen, those inner things that you held in so long, and when you freely give it out, amen, without charge, amen, it come with a cost. Glory to God. And the cost is your soul. Amen. I refuse to have my soul antagonized or intimidated or hurting, depressed, suicidal because of what someone else did to me. No, I got to get that monkey off my back, and I have to live, and I shall live and not die and declare the words of a living God. And so, God, we just thank you for everyone that is attached to this broadcast on tonight. I pray for every woman. I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl who's been affected, Lord God, who's been infected as a result of being violated and offended. God, whether it's been in their childhood, adolescent, teenage years, even in their adulthood, Lord God, we pray that they would not be stained by their past. And God, I pray that you will come into their hearts right now, and you begin to do a great work. For we know that he that began a good work, amen, a great work, is able to complete it even until that day. God, we just ask you right now, God, that you will heal every broken heart, every wounded heart. God, help us to get past marked our path, oh God. Oh God, let us live on purpose, the destiny that you have set before us, oh God. Let us realize that hurt don't have to live here anymore. Hurt does not no longer have to have our P.O. box and our address. But God, we just thank you right now for delivering and setting free by the power of a living God. Oh God, every man, woman, boy, and girl that is attached to this episode, God, every family member who is struggling, God, with hurt, every family member that has been wounded, God, oh God, we pray now that you would detach them from the hand of the enemy, Lord God, that you will snatch them and pull them out of the fire, oh God, and let them know that they can live and not die. They shall live and not die and declare the works of the God that sent them. Oh God, we thank you. We give you honor. We give you glory for what you've done. We give you glory. Let it be a testimony, Lord God. Let scars, Lord God, let it not be the wound, Lord God. Let it not be the brokenness. Let it not be the abrasions, Lord God. Let not it be the cuts or the abrasions, Lord God, but let it be the scars, because scars represent a testimony. The scars represent that if you did it for me, you could do it for them. Lord God, we thank you in advance that you're healing one scar at a time. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We declare it and we decree it now into every household that they are broken, but they are healed, and hurt does not reside at their address any longer by the power of Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for tuning in on tonight. We pray that you was able to grab something on tonight from this episode. Share it with a friend, an enemy, an in-law, outlaw. Be blessed. Stay safe out there. Mask up still. Amen. Glory to God. And let God be the chief cornerstone in your life. This is your host, your girl from Atlanta, Georgia, bringing it live and in effect, Pastor Rose. I love you in Jesus' name. This broadcast has now ended. Shalom.